Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the July 7th Board of Adjustment meeting. I hope everyone's having a great vacation, or that's a vacation, I just came back from vacation, a great summer so far, and dealing with this heat is not easy, so I hope everyone's doing well. I'd like to go ahead and start with attendance. We are a little bit short today. We will have five members here. We have one opening still, and we have one member that is absent today, so there will need to be a five. All five yeas for anything that we're going to pass today. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Belush to formally take attendance. Mr. Belush?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We do have five of six members present. The members present today are Mr. Nagler, Mr. Silvers, Mr. Aronson, Mr. Asion, and yourself, Mr. Goldberg. Ms. Malikoff is absent.
Great. Thank you. I'll go ahead now and turn it over to the city attorney, who will give information on how the public can participate via Zoom. And also, Mr. City Attorney, if you can swear in the individuals in person who will testify.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, all. Today's meeting of the Board of Adjustment has been scheduled in a hybrid format with a quorum of the board physically present in the commission chambers at Miami Beach City Hall, and applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via the Zoom platform. For those wishing to participate via the Zoom platform webinar, may dial 888-853-5257, which is a toll-free number, and enter the webinar ID, which is 828-6961-5309, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 828-6961-5309. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial star 9 if they are participating by phone. Before I swear in those that are testifying today, I'm going to advise all as to the city's notice regarding lobbyist registration. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You do not have to register as a lobbyist if you are speaking only on your behalf and not any other party, or if you are testifying as an expert witness, providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you are appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance to express support of or opposition to any item. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, or encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. At this point, I'm going to swear in those that are here. Not that many of you, but if you can please stand up. And for those that are appearing online, I will swear you in before you address the board. Could you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I swear.
Thank you so much. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. Mr. Belush, do we have any discussion items today?
No, we don't, except I just want to let the board members know that starting in September, due to renovations in the commission chambers, we will be meeting in the convention center, and we'll send you the logistical details of that move of location before the meeting.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. All right. In your package, you had the minutes from our meeting on Friday, June 2nd. Hopefully, you had an opportunity to review that. I'll entertain any corrections or changes, and if there are no changes, I will look for a motion to approve those minutes. Okay, motion by Mr. Silvers, second.
Sure.
Okay, second by Mr. Aronson. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay, we do have some requests for continuances and withdrawals. If you'd like to go ahead and tee those up, the two that are being continued. Mr. Belush, thank
sure.
you.
Sure. The first, we have one item that was listed on the agenda as a request for continuance, as well as another item. So the first item is a request for continuance is ZBA 22-0143 for 125 to 153 Collins Avenue due to the short board. The applicant is requesting a continuance to the September 8th meeting.
Okay. Didn't we have a second?
Right, but before, because we have to first ask for public comment on the request for continuance.
Okay, I did not realize that. Okay, go ahead and open public comment.
I see nobody in chambers on that application. Is anybody online want to comment on the first request for continuance, which is for 125 to 153 Collins Avenue? There's nobody online with their hand raised for that.
Go ahead and close public comment.
We do need to have a motion formally from the
board. All in favor of the motion for continuance on ZBA 22-0143?
We need someone to make the motion.
Need a motion, please?
Yeah. I make the motion.
Okay, motion by Mr. Aronson. Second?
I second.
Second by Mr. Silvers. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Mr. Belous, the next one, please.
Yes, we have another request for continuance, which was the last item on the agenda. This is ZBA 23-0147 for 625 West 42nd Street. Due to the short board, the applicant is also requesting a continuance to the September 8th meeting. I see no one in the public on this application, and there's nobody online with their hand raised to comment on this application.
Okay, so we'll open public comment. Public comment is closed. Like to entertain any motions?
So moved.
Okay, moved by Mr. Aronson.
Second
by Mr. Silvers. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you. Okay, that will lead us into our first application, which is ZBA 23-0149, 5413 LaGorse Drive. There's three variances being requested on this item. Mr. Belous, will you please introduce the item?
Sure. The next application, the first application on the agenda, is ZBA 23-0149 for 5413 LaGorse Drive. An application has been filed requesting after-the-fact variances from the required side yard setback for the construction of a pergola structure and deck within the rear yard, and a variance for the installation of artificial turf within the yard of a single-family property. Now, this has some interesting background to it. On June 7th of last year, a citation was issued for the construction of the outdoor pergola and associated cabinetry without a building permit. In order to correct the violation, on September 1st of last year, the applicant did apply for the building permit for that construction located in the rear yard. That permit also included the installation of artificial turf in large portions of the side and rear yards. This permit application, as is in the case with all building permits for such construction, are submitted through the building department, which then assigns the plans for review by the various departments. However, if for some reason in this case, this is similar to another application we reviewed a few months ago regarding a pergola structure in the front yard. This permit was never assigned for review by the planning department, and the building permit was subsequently issued. It wasn't until the planning department went out to do a final inspection that we determined that the construction did not comply with the setback requirements. To correct this, the applicant is requesting three variances. One is to reduce the required side setback from the required 7'6" down to 6 feet. The second variance is from the requirement that at least 70% of the required rear yard be sodded or landscaped pervious open space. And the third variance is a variance from the maximum permitted width of a walkway of 44 inches and allow the construction of artificial turf for walkways within the required side yards. We are recommending approval of the application. The construction of the pergola with a setback of 6 feet is not inconsistent with other structures within the area. And regarding the variance for the artificial turf, it pertains only to the side yards. The rear yard is compliant. The code does allow that for 50% of the open space within a required rear yard can be of a real sod or artificial sod. However, there's no provision to allow artificial sod in the side yards, so we treat it the same as any other sort of hard surface. We are recommending approval. We have the Ms. Gelato. If you could come up on behalf of the applicant, if you would like to add anything else, or if you would like to go through the plans.
Okay, let's go ahead and set the clock. Is 10 minutes enough?
More than enough, yes.
Okay, let's set the clock for 10 minutes, please. Ms. Gelato.
Good morning, welcome, everybody, and thank you for allowing me to speak on behalf of my client. I want to clarify from the beginning that, as Mr. Belush explained, this one was a pergola erected without a permit that was established, you know, and the client already, you know, complied with all the permits and the applications. And if I'm able to, let me see if I can, how is that I can show you there? Or you have it you have it in your computer.
Can we get the presentation?
No, I mean, if you have it,
they're going to turn it on just a second. Yep. It's, yeah,
here we go. It's right there. Okay. Okay. Here we go. This one was the stage when the first notice of compliance, right, arrived to the property. Oh, thank you. Everything was stopped. Was nothing really out of the ordinary. Was built on top of a slab that was already there. It's a very simple, I could tell you that it's like a sophisticated dining table, okay, where they are going to have a charcoal grill. So it's no gas lines on the property, it's not electrical, it's no water, nothing. It's just basically to have like a nice bar outdoor. They stopped the job. Of course, we apply for the permits. That one is the notice of compliance and the violation. We apply for the permits and everything with all the plans, the survey. I don't know if it's clear enough there where the on the corner at the bottom left is that little square, which is where the pergola actually is. That is the plans that they submitted. The pool was existent. Everything else is existent. Everything was presented. We obtained the approval for the permits. We called for the inspection. When the inspector arrived to the property, he didn't find anything, honestly. He told me that everything was apparently good, but he wanted to see a letter from the engineer stating that, you know, everything that was already done, there was this slab, again, that was something that was already existent, that somebody can sign on of that. So the letter of from the engineer is, you know, submitted to the inspector. We call again for the inspection, and the inspector approved. So at that moment, I asked him, "What about the artificial grass? When I have to call for inspection for the artificial grass?" And he say, "No, it's nothing really here, so it's fine." So he told me, finish, because at that moment was everything the way that you guys saw, you know, unfinished. He told me, continue with the countertop and call for the final inspection. Thank you very much. So he left. At the moment that we have the countertop installed, let me go there. The moment that we have the countertop installed, we try to go into the portal, right, to schedule the final building inspection, and the system didn't allow us to go there. So it says that we have inspections that they have to be called before, and the only one that was supposed to be calling was planning. So we called for planning, and when the inspector arrived to the property, she noticed that nothing is being, you know, shared between between building department and planning department. So they don't have anything for them to really inspect. So from that moment on, so we start having meetings here to see how is that we can resolve that, and that is the reason we end up, you know, doing the presentations and speaking to Mr. Belush, and we were explained that the only way to basically put an end to all of this was applying for a variance. So that's the reason we're here. Let me show you, move forward to how it is. This is how it's looking right now. As you can see, the countertop was finished. That is from the inside view. So let me just state that until this day, the homeowner is being extremely patient, okay? And you can see if you open the grill, even the plastics are inside, so nothing is being removed, nothing is being used, just waiting on this issue to be resolved, and that we can call for the final inspection and they can enjoy the job.
Thank you. Let me go ahead and open up to public comment. I see there's no one here in the chambers. Do we have anybody on Zoom, Mr. Belush?
There is nobody online with their hand raised.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close public comment. I'll go ahead and open up for board discussion through the chair. Anybody have questions on the board? Okay, Mr. Silvers?
These plans that you were prepared, I don't see any structural engineer that prepared these plans. There's nobody.
Mr. Silvers, is your mic on?
It. Let me go there. Right there.
I'm asking you, who prepared the plans? Is there a structural engineer to have designed this foundation for this aluminum pergola?
The homeowner went and they did it as they by themselves. So they hired a company that, yes, of course, they have, you know, everything, but they did it by themselves. So at the moment that the inspector arrived to the property and he couldn't sign off, you know, approving the inspection, so he requests the letter from the engineer. So it's part of the, I don't know if you cannot see it there, but it is right there, the letter from the engineer stating that everything was done based on, you know, what is approved.
Answer your question, Mr. Sorry.
No. Now, the problem is you prepared plans that were not prepared by an engineer. And there's no title block, there's no accountability of these plans. They're not worth anything to me as an architect. You really need to have a signed and sealed set of plans for a structure like this. And I also need to see product approval of the aluminum tubes.
But Mr. Silvers, if I can interrupt, that's reviewed by the building department. So typically, if this were to come from us from the very beginning, you would have not have received structural plans. You'd have received concept drawings, and then for building permit, they have to submit structural drawings, and that's when it's reviewed by the building department for compliance with the building code.
I know they got a permit. It was just overlooked by the planning department.
Right.
Okay. Does that excuse?
Well, the board here is not reviewing the structural or the product approvals. If someone's here, we never give the board product approvals for any application for windows because it's a voluminous, you know, a set of documents. And here we're just looking at the design and the setbacks, the technical numbers.
Okay. So what you're saying is, since the city overlooked in its permit process.
No, the building department overlooked sending the plans to planning. The building department did review the letter from the engineer to state that the slab was structural enough to support the structures, the pergola structures. That was reviewed by the building department. There was a process where my understanding is that certain applications do not require planning, such as, you know, fire sprinklers on the interior wood flooring. So building has a set of type of permits that don't require planning. Unfortunately, there was an update to the system, and pergola structures like this were included in that set of plans that didn't require planning in terms of what the building department thought. We've corrected that since that time, but we're going to see a few more of these until these work out the process. When an inspection is called and planning is required, then we realize that plans were never reviewed by the planning department.
I understand. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions from the board? Okay. Mr. Aronson?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not sure that it was clarified. Are you the architect?
No, I'm an interior designer, but I haven't. Basically, I registered as the lobbyist to be speaking in behalf of the client, just because I know them from a very long time. You know, I'm the one that, you know, recommend them to change the colors in the house and furniture and things like that. So, but this particular job was handled by the homeowners. That was the reason they opened. The permit was presented to the city as the homeowners with a cost affidavit and everything else.
So as interior designer, you have nothing to do with any of these plans?
No. No, sir.
Or anything to do with the construction?
No. The only thing is that since they are people that they are not, you know, honestly, they are the best people ever. So, and they recognized that they did a mistake just to be, you know, doing this without the proper process. But they don't really know. I'm the one that usually is on all of my other clients, you know, waiting for inspections and things like that. So they call me in just to be able to assist them on the whole process. That was the reason I was the one submitted, you know, permits and speaking.
So is this young lady from the family, or she worked for
you?
No,
she works for me, and okay. She has everything on the computer in case that we have any problem with it.
Right, just to clarify, I didn't send the board all the documentations for part of the permit, but the permit application, the full building permit application, was reviewed and approved
right. By
the building department.
I understand.
And the building department had approved all of their inspections. It was only the planning department that could not approve the inspection because of noncompliance with the items mentioned.
Variance. I understand. Just one more question. In looking at the pictures, trying to understand this, is the entire backyard artificial turf surrounding the pool and the pergola, or is there any real grass anywhere?
It is real grass around. Let me see if I can, if you can see, has a very, very luscious plants all around, okay? And all of that, right now is, you know, around the plants is real grass. So the green that you are seeing there, that one is artificial. But the part where the, you know, where the big tall plants are right now is, you know,
the perimeter.
Grass.
The perimeter.
Yes,
of the rear
exactly.
yard is,
yes,
is landscaping.
Yes.
Natural landscaping.
Okay, and the pool is surrounded, itself is surrounded
yes.
by artificial.
Yes. Because was basically was just concrete there, you know,
right.
and just to make it look
right. So
pretty.
that pool and pool deck were previously permitted. They covered the concrete portion of the pool deck with the artificial
grass. With artificial grass.
I have nothing further.
Ms. Anderson, other questions, Mr.
Yes.
Essien?
Thank you. When did you start the process yourself to get this going?
Well, the inspection where they stopped everything basically was May 24 of 2022, last year. So we submit all the paperwork, all the permits and plans and everything by August 30th, and everything was approved by the city on October 28th.
So basically, the plans were submitted for permit on September 1st and approved on October 28th. About 2 months that was the permit process.
And then from October 28th, why are we here now?
Well, it was a matter of the planning inspection. Final inspection was not called until February.
What was called on November 10th. That was when the inspector went for the first time. And he approved that one, and he told me, okay, go ahead, you know, and finish and call for final. So, and from that moment, you know, was almost on the holiday season, was really hard to get, you know, the countertop and everything installed.
Right, that's a good point. So the work was not completed. They didn't do all the work prior to getting the permit. It was in the state that she mentioned. So they got the permit. Then they took the time to finish the construction and then called for the inspection.
And then you finished the job when?
On February of this year.
February.
Yes.
Perfect.
And
you sent for permits to check it, and that happened when?
We called for the planning inspection, and that was when the inspector, you know, was able to notice that nothing was basically on planning department. So we have to stop everything, and from them was 1,000 emails and 1,000 visits to the building department to try and to determine how is that we are going to be fixing this. So meetings on the planning department with Mrs. Villegas, she recommended a person that I have to be talking is Mr. Belush. You know, quite a few meetings with Mr. Belush, you know, with all explanation and everything that. And so they told me that we have to be applying for the solution for this one was apply for the variance.
Got it. My last question is, do you have any recommendations of how we could streamline and make the process easier and better for residents?
In general or
yeah.
in this?
In this case or in general, however, whatever you would, if you were giving recommendation, what recommendation would you make?
Well, I've been working in Miami Beach for a long time. You know, I've been designing for like over 30 years. And most of the time, you know, what I was telling you, I'm the person that is waiting for inspectors, you know, this is the first time in all of those years that I found, you know, that I have to be speaking in behalf of somebody because something like this happened. So that something was basically overlooked and we have to stop. And these are clients like, or people, you know, that they are amazing, very patient.
I understand, but that's not, I'm asking you, is there anything that you would do to help streamline the process on the city side if you were working on the city side? That's my question.
Honestly, yeah, I think that we're trying to make the process a little faster. I think that it took really long time just to be able to, you know, get back. We have basically history that we have been on top of, you know, checking every day the portal to see if we have anything that we have to reply. And it was taking really long time from the city, I mean, from the portal to get information to us. So I think that one delay, you know, more than necessary. And all of this, even when the homeowner accept that, you know, was their mistake, they pay the dues and everything. And, you know, having not be able to enjoy the backyard because until they don't have a final, I told them, please don't even open the grill, right? So it's like, I don't think that is
you. We just had that other person, remember, last month that were getting their pergola approved, and it took them from beginning to end 14 months, more or less, until they got here. In this situation, I'm not saying, you know, for whatever reasons, it's also been about 14 months to get a pergola approved.
Well, no, the issue here, I think, with the time frame is that the process to get before the BOA, this takes about 3 to 4 months just to get here with our public notice requirement. It used to be 10 years ago, the notice requirement was 2 weeks. Now it's 30 days. And now, also with the Herald only, we only advertise in the Herald on Sundays, so we have to give them the notice in advance. So, yeah, there is a process that does take time to get before the BOA.
I hear you. I'm just saying, as a homeowner, just as a regular person, you get so frustrated to install a pergola and have it take 14 months. The second person that comes here for a pergola, which it takes 14 months, and I get whatever it is.
It hasn't taken 14 months.
I mean, from the time that they were caught saying that they were doing something wrong to the time now, it's been 14 months.
Yeah, it was May of last year.
Yeah.
But from that moment is when we start to be creating plans and presenting everything. So we really submit everything to the city at the end of
August. I know it's not 14 months on our side, but I'm saying that in general, it's taken that as a homeowner, it's taken them 14 months because of everything that happened, including them doing something wrong. But I would love to figure out a way how we could streamline, especially these kind of things.
I know we had talked about in terms of looking at different types of permits that are small like this and have a lesser noticing requirement.
Exactly.
That's something that I know that we've been in discussion. I think there's also an outside agency that's reviewing this whole process.
I sat with them. Okay. But I just think that, you know, having these situations where a homeowner has to wait the same amount of time as if you're putting up a wall,
right?
You know, a structural wall versus a pergola, something should have a fast track, kind of like a Publix. You got 10 items or less, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff, we should look at how do we streamline the process for these kind of things, because this is just absurd.
We're also looking at a consent agenda so that these items could be moved quicker on a consent agenda, on either the DRB or Board of Adjustment, as well as a reduction in the time frame for noticing.
Is there anything this board could do to send a request to any of the departments to sort of have them analyze and come back to us and say, or to the commission, that we could say, how can we recommend what you just said?
I think what I would suggest is, what I can bring to everybody here is the recommendations of that agency that's looking at this process, have the board review it, and then providing the recommendations at a future meeting.
How long is that going to take?
Well, I can provide that at the next meeting, but I think it's good for the board to see what the recommendations are already in place, and then to see if the board can agree with those or recommend, you know, additional things that could speed up the process.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good comments, Mr. Asian. Thank you. Any other questions on the dais? Mr. Nadler? No? The only comment I'll make is, you know, it seems like there's kind of dual responsibility, you know, during the presentation. You admitted things weren't done the right way, but I think the city kind of dropped the ball a little bit on our side too. So, you know, it looks good. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, there were none of the neighbors, no objections from any neighbors on this?
Not that I know. So we present all the mailing. I mean, everything was sent. I think that was like 44 neighbors within the 375 radius, and we haven't heard anything.
So it looks beautiful. I don't see any issues, and you know, based on what I previously said, you know, I'm going to support approval of this. There's no other comments.
I would comment.
Another comment, Mr. Aronson?
Yeah, I support this also. I think the board needs to be reasonably consistent, and we've already approved pergolas in the front of the residence. This is behind the residence. We've also approved pergolas with less setback than this one. And on the other items, the open space, et cetera, it's really de minimis off of what the regulations require. So I'm supporting this.
Okay. Open up the floor to any motions.
I would move that we support the
request. We've got a motion by Mr. Arison to approve all three variances as requested.
I'll second. Yes.
Okay. Got a second from Mr. Silvers. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Enjoy.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
thank you for your patience.
No, I really appreciate the help, okay? And I think that one was a lesson well learned for
absolutely.
The clients, too. Okay?
Absolutely.
So what I have to check now is how is the process. So I have to wait for a notification before I call for the next inspection.
So basically what's going to happen after this meeting is I'm going to prepare a final order today or Monday. It's sent to the county to record. I'll upload it to the permit set of plans and then call for final inspection again. And our inspector will not even have to go out there, basically, to just approve it based upon the meeting today.
So I'm supposed to be calling only for building final, right?
Let's talk about it after the meeting, and
that's
then I'll make sure.
But just out of curiosity, I'm actually curious. So what happens by Wednesday? She'll be able to call building final. Can you actually tell us?
No, I don't have information on the inspection from building, so I can't. I don't want to provide any wrong information regarding that. So that's why I say it's not. I can't give you that.
But she'll be able to use that pergola, hypothetically speaking, by when?
But she can use it now.
Thank you very much. My client is going to be very happy.
So enjoy this weekend.
You know, but before we close, I'm sorry I didn't do this, and I need to make sure I do it going forward before any items. Any disclosures? Okay. No disclosures. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Send our best to the homeowners if they're
very much, okay?
Not watching. Okay. Thank you.
Party this weekend.
Thank you.
That's it. Great. Okay. We're going to go ahead to our second item, which is going to be ZBA 23-0151, 8527 Crespi Boulevard, requesting two variances. Mr. Belush, please tee up that.
First, I want to make sure I understand the applicant here, the homeowner, Mr. Norman Woods. Mr. Woods, are you online? If you can raise your hand.
No, I'm just.
Hello, Norman, are you there? I see Norman has his hand raised under Galaxy 821. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce, Mr. Woods, I'm going to go ahead and introduce the item. Then I'll turn it over to you if you have anything else to add. I just want to make sure that you are available via Zoom.
Does I think he needs to be sworn in?
Yeah.
Mr. City Attorney, thank you.
Good morning. Good morning, panel.
Yes. Could you please raise your right hand by your hands up anyway. excuse me. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you'll be giving in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
And Mr. Woods, before I allow you to present, I'm just going to go ahead and do a brief introduction of the application. Again, this is ZBA 23-0151 for 8527 Crespi Boulevard. Now, this subject property is zoned TH, which is one of the small, we only have two TH zone properties or districts on the beach. This is located between 85th and 86th Streets and between Crespi Boulevard and Hawthorne Avenue. We provided a map in the board packages on page 24. This zoning district does not allow, as of right, carports in the front yard, unlike the neighboring zoning district single family to the north, which is outlined along the north side of 86th Street with the waterway to the north. In that district, carports are allowed with administrative approval with a setback of 4 feet from the side and 18 inches at the front. However, there is no such provision for carports in the townhome district. The applicant did construct a carport in this location and is asking a variance from the required, in this case, the required setback would be 20 feet because it's not allowable encroachment. And the side setback is required 7.5 feet. Due to the applicant abutting the single family district to the north, which does allow carports, this property with a carport would not be out of character with that neighborhood, as well as the townhome district itself, which does have a variety of one- and two-story duplexes. So with that, we are recommending approval of both variances, and this carport also is about half the size of a normal carport, which is typically 20 by 20. This is 10.5 feet by 17 feet long. With that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Woods if you would like to provide some additional information or describe your application.
Oh, thank you, panel and Mr. Belush. I appreciate this opportunity. The carport would be a good addition to the value of the property, and it would also allow for the appearance of the property to be better. I don't have any additional comments. I just hope that we can have this approved so that I can enjoy the carport and protect our vehicles.
Okay, I'll go ahead and thank you for that. I'll go ahead and open up for any public comment. There's no one here in the chambers. Is there anybody on Zoom, Mr. Belush?
And there's nobody online with their hand raised.
I'm going to go ahead and close public comment. I'm going to open it up for board discussion. Any questions? Okay. Mr. Nadler.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at page 24 of our packet. Is the TH zone, is it just this one rectangular area here?
Yes, that's it. It's bound by 86th Street to the north and 85th Street to the south, that basically long block. And there's two properties that are along the water.
I guess this is what I'm struggling with. And not struggling to approve or not approve, but just to understand. One of the grounds for suggesting approval is that the property directly abuts single-family zoning, right?
Yes.
Is it not true that every single property in this TH zone directly abuts a single-family?
No, because they're separated by a street.
Right. Okay, so
this is the only one that directly abuts because it's the other ones are across the street. This one does directly abut. But you're right. It's a neighborhood that is surrounded by single-family to the north, but to the south, it's RM1, which is residential multifamily.
Okay, so just which one on this map is it? It's the one on the water.
It's the one on the water, okay. The far right, northeast.
So if something's directly across the street, that's not considered directly abutting. That's considered across the street.
It could be considered adjacent.
Okay, and is there a distinction between adjacent and directly abutting?
Well, that's up to interpretation. I know that there are sections of the code that reference in terms of distance separation, adjacent or abutting. I think abutting typically is sharing a property line.
Okay. All right. It just seems to me like the whole zone is of questionable value.
Well, yeah, this zoning has been here since the 50s or 60s. So, you know, I don't know what the reasoning why this was zoned TH versus RM1. But typically a TH zoning is like a buffer between the RM1, which has a higher density, which is an FAR of 1.25, versus TH, which is 0.7. So it may have been at the time that residents along the water of the north wanted a buffer with the multifamily to the south, and so they created the townhome district, which is a intermediary.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, and I appreciate you providing. I think you did provide an explanation of a distinction between what were the two terms we used, directly abutting and
adjacent.
And the reason I think that's important to make on the record here today is because if there's not a distinction between the two, then what we decide today, if we approve it, sets precedent that basically this entire TH zoning is of no value or no significance for purposes of a carport, because we'd be setting a precedent that since something directly abuts a single family, therefore that's grounds to allow the carport. And here, for purposes of the record and precedent setting, there's only two homes that directly abut single families in this zone, whereas all of the rest do not directly abut. They are adjacent. Is that
correct.
Fair?
Correct.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the board?
No, but actually, this property actually doesn't abut it, right? It's the property next to it.
No, this property does. This is on the map here. This is located here.
Yeah, but the two corner properties that are there, is this property... Is this 2-5 or 3-5?
This is 8527.
Which is the property right next to the one in the corner?
Let me come over and point to it on the map.
I'm saying, is this corner property this corner property?
This is single family. This is the property here. So this is the...
But it shows that these two in the corner,
these two, right? Those are single family.
Would be these two. So the next one over would be this one.
No. This is the property line.
Do we want to put it up on the screen, Ms. Belush, so the public can see what we're...
Is this a property that we're approving?
Are we able to put that up on the screen, number 24?
So is this one...
This is single family.
Got it. It just shows that these two properties...
It could have been divided, but that's...
Yeah, got it. So that map is not very accurate.
Yeah, that's not to deny the
understand. Now it makes sense.
He's going to put it up.
Yeah, I think it's important that we're discussing something that the public...
Not a problem. I'm just looking at the map, and the map is showing
a
two...
A quick summary with it up for the public, sure. That would be great.
Yeah, I think the confusion is that the map I provided, which gives you the lots...
The property
lines.
But
those lots do not denote where the actual homes in terms of the property lines.
Understood. So it made it seem like if it was one over, but it's not, because it's this map doesn't...
This carport directly abuts the single-family property to the north.
Can't get up.
This is page 24 of our... Oh, it's on the staff report. On the staff report, yeah.
I just think it's important that we just rehash that with that up on the screen for the public that may be watching and for the applicant.
That's actually page 4 of the staff report for ZBA 23-0151. Correct, yes, right there.
There we go.
Let's zoom into that corner.
We can zoom into that, and you know, maybe Mr. Belushi just wanted to give a quick summary of what we were talking about when you came behind on the dais for the applicant and the public, just so we were on the same page. Thank you.
Yeah, so the lighter color yellow to the north of 86th Street that extends over to the waterway to the east. There you go. So on the top part of the page, north of 86th Street, that's zone single family. The yellow all the way, including the two corner parcels on the east side. Just to the south of that is where the townhome district starts, south of 86th Street. And this property at 8527 Crespi directly abuts the single family district to the north. The townhome district extends the two lots south of single family. However, those two lots are comprised of two buildings with a total of four townhomes. So this building is basically a duplex. It's split in the middle. So the two lots to the east are comprised of two townhomes on the one parcel and two townhomes on the parcel to the south.
Answer the question, Mr. Essien. We good?
Yep. Thank you.
I always found that area here very interesting because there's such a mix of single family, multifamily. As a kid growing up, it was kind of confusing. But thank you for that clarification. We appreciate it. And thank you for the question, Ms. Yassian. Any other questions on the dais?
No.
Okay, with that being said, I entertain any motions.
Motion to approve.
Okay, got a motion to approve by Mr. Silvers. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Mr. Nagler. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right, congratulations, Mr. Woods. You're good to go. Thank you. Okay, at this point, do we have any appeals? We have no appeals?
Not this month, no.
Okay. Other business, I'm going to mention this each meeting. And for the public that's watching, we still need to fill a CPA slot. You can see how important with this meeting that it is that we fill that slot, because we did have one of our members that was not able to attend because she was on vacation. So someone would have needed all five yeas to get their variance passed. So if anyone knows a CPA that either lives on Miami Beach or works on Miami Beach, does not have to live on Miami Beach, you know, please let them know, refer them to staff so they can apply for that position. As Mr. Belush said, we have no meeting in August. Our next meeting will be September 8th at a location at the Convention Center. You'll get specifics from staff as to where that will be and parking. Also, do you just want to – I know we're going to have a little bit of a busy agenda in September. How's it looking, Mr. Belush, now? How many items –
We're going to have pending? We're going to have the appeal that was continued today, as well as the continuation of the appeal based upon additional information that was provided at the prior meeting in June, and I believe two more applications. So, And then, I'm sorry, that was continued at the beginning. Thank you for that. If you have your package, your plans here for the last item that was on today's agenda, which is for 625 West 42nd Street, you could leave those here on the dais so I can pick them up. We'll send them back to you for the September meeting.
So right now we have the two appeals
and
the 42nd Street variance request. Are those the only
two? So it's a total of, I think we're going to have three variance requests, including the one that was continued today, and two appeals.
Yeah, so allocate your time accordingly. Any other good and welfare? Okay, with that, motion to close the meeting. Did you have one, Mr.
No.
Silvers? Oh, you're moving the motion to close it?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Silvers, second.
I have a good and welfare.
Okay.
I would just ask staff if you could advise us when a motion for continuance comes in, just an email blast or something. I'd appreciate it.
Sure, yeah.
That second one came in late.
Pretty late, yeah. So yeah. I should let everybody know, because it came after we sent everything out. I should have emailed everybody, let them know that was going to be a request for continuance today.
That's I'm not blaming, just as a general proposition. Thank you.
Everybody, thank you for your time. Enjoy your summer, and we'll see you in September. Thank you.
Thank you.